Serena.
I can't trust her, I began. She knows how to work with the dead. She just doesn't do it.
That's not what she said before,
Zeke growled. I met his eyes. She could have helped save Mary Summers, and she didn't. But that's not the only reason. Apparently there's a witch's council somewhere that polices magic users, and necromancers are not their favorite.
Keep talking, beautiful,
Ethan said with a frown on his face. They have rules, and if you break them, you'll, well, be dealt with. Zeke stopped pacing.
And there's a specific rule for necromancers?
Which is? Miles asked. I looked down at the comforter again. Raising the dead, I said. Once that happens, the witch's council deals with them. I've interpreted it as killing them. Zeke cursed. The others were shocked, but I wasn't done. I met Ethan's eyes. After we told you about Sophie, I went to her and asked some questions. Before I left, she said something about, if my abilities are growing as fast as she believed, then it won't be long before I started raising the dead. The room grew silent.
She threatened you?
Zeke growled. I looked down at the comforter and nodded. I took it that way, I said quietly, then muttered to myself. Hell, maybe that's why no one's made it to 30.
No one's made it to 30?
Asher asked sharply. I sighed. I might as well tell them now. No woman in my family has had a 30th birthday. The record is 29 years, 7 months, and 8 days.
Damn it, Lexi,
Zeke snapped.
You've been carrying this shit all this time?
I nodded, waiting for the axe to fall, for them to say enough and walk out the door.
You didn't need to take this on alone,
Miles said softly. I met his warm eyes and could breathe again.
The fact the other women in your family didn't make it to 30 doesn't mean you won't.
I gave him a look.
Lexi, they thought they were seers. They were working with false information. You know what you are, and you have more people to support you than they did.
He had a good point. Why did he always have a good point? If you're going to bring logic into it, I muttered.
Well, someone fucking has to,
Zeke snapped.
Anything else you're keeping a secret?
I thought it over and winced. It didn't go unnoticed.
Lexi,
Miles asked. When I found my center, I met someone who looked like me. I met Miles's eyes. She wasn't my true self, but she helped me. When I got to the Vale, she told me what I needed to do to fix the way. I looked down at the comforter again. And when I struggled with that, she helped again. Since then, she's kind of become my teacher, I guess.
Does she still look like you?
Ethan asked.
Has she told you what she is? Who she is?
She still looks like me and hasn't told me what she is, I admitted. But she told me to call her Zahur. The guys all shared looks. Some were worried like Asher's and Miles. Others were angry like Zeke's.
Anything else?
Ethan asked, his voice strained. Unless Isaac didn't tell you about this morning. My eyes met his. He shook his head. I took a deep breath. Okay, I lost a soul this morning.
What do you mean, lost?
Zeke asked. I met Zeke's eyes. He jumped into the pit. He chose to be unmade rather than cross over. His face softened, his eyes warming. I looked back down at the comforter and concentrated on petting Hades. I grabbed him and tried to pull him back. When I couldn't, I called for Zahur. She made me let go. The silence grew heavy. She said I couldn't stop them from making that choice. I could try to talk them out of it, but I can't physically stop them. My eyes filled as I saw it all again.
Lexi.
Miles breathed as he reached out and took my hand.
That's not your fault.
I nodded and wiped my face. I know, but it still sucks. I took a breath and looked around the room at them. That's everything except for a couple of things I'm not ready to share, so if you want to bail, don't leave me guessing. Do it now, because I'm done. I looked at each of them. I'm done trying to keep you guys away. I'm done hiding everything. I'm tired of thinking someone is going to leave. I'm all in, if you guys are. The air was thick with silence. Isaac moved first. He crawled onto the bed and hugged me tightly, shaking. I hugged him back. Then Ethan climbed on the bed and joined the hug with his brother.
You're beautiful, Lexi, but sometimes you can be so stupid,
he announced.
Group hug time.
I laughed softly. The bed dipped. Asher appeared over Ethan's shoulder. He wrapped his arms around all of us. We lost our balance and tipped over. Hades yelped and squirmed out of the way. We started laughing. A hand found my shoulder. Wintergreen, mixed with cinnamon, limes, and spice, as I looked up. Miles had a small smile on his face as he squeezed my shoulder. I kept giggling with the twins as I got squished. Over Miles' shoulder, Zeke stood by the bed. Instead of joining the dog pile, which was what it was at this point, he crossed his arms over his chest. Zeke, I groaned.
Yeah?
I'm being squished, I complained. He smirked.
Tough shit.
His dry voice had everyone chuckling. The tension left the room, leaving behind peace. I grinned up at them while the others squished me. Chapter 18. Sunday morning. I put down the last ward rock, then stood up straight. The rocks were painted with symbols and a drop of my blood in the center. They now surrounded the house, and I even put a few on the damn dock for good measure. I had started these in December, but never found the time to finish them. I sure as hell found the time this morning. Now, hopefully, the dead couldn't come in at all. I headed back into the house with Hades. I had slept until 2 this afternoon, and I didn't care. I was taking the day off from crossing souls. They could just kiss my ass right now. After my talk with the guys last night, I felt better, lighter, as if some of the weight I had been carrying was gone. Telling them everything had been difficult. Hell, I shook the whole time. But I was glad I did it. I let them in. I was all in. Theirs. Completely and utterly. It scared the shit out of me, but I'd deal with it. I was opening the back door when my phone rang. It was Ethan. Hey.
Hey, beautiful.
Ethan's quiet, smoky voice rolled through my ear.
How are you feeling?
Better than I have in a long time, I admitted.
Good,
he said.
Lexi, do you feel up to trying to cross Sophie today?
I went still. My stomach knotted. Yeah, I said. If you're ready to talk to her, of course.
Miles and the others are going to keep Isaac company for a few hours,
he said.
Meet me over at the house.
I'm on my way, I said, before he hung up. Ethan was ready. Shit. Thankfully, Rory lifted my grounding after yesterday. He figured almost dying was enough punishment. I went inside and put Hades on his leash, then headed out to the Blazer. The drive to the twins' house felt longer than it should have. The twins' car wasn't there when I arrived. Good. I needed to talk to Sophie before Ethan got here anyway. I quickly headed inside and let Hades off the leash as that chill ran down my neck. I straightened to find Sophie sitting on the staircase just like the other day. Had she even moved? Probably not. Ethan's coming home now, I said. She gave me a sad smile. Are you sure you don't want to talk to your mom, too? Sophie shook her head. Mom's doing all right. She's not holding on, but she hasn't forgotten. She gave me a watery smile. This would just hurt her. She believes I'm okay, and that's what I want. And Isaac? Talking to me won't help. I sighed. We both walked into the family room. I paced while Sophie took the left chair and curled up in it. We didn't have to wait long. Ethan came in with heavy bags under his eyes. I didn't think. I just hugged him. He squeezed me tight for several minutes before letting go. He looked down at me.
Okay, so what do we do?
He asked. We sit down and you talk, I said. At least, I think that's how this would work. We need to find what's keeping her here. His eyes grew shadowed.
I think I know what's keeping her here.
He moved away from me to sit on the couch. I sat on the coffee table in front of him. He leaned his elbows on his knees and was looking at the floor. When you're ready, I said gently. He took several deep breaths and let them out slowly before meeting my eyes.
In order for you to understand, I need to tell you about the car accident that killed Sophie,
he explained. Okay, I said. Ethan stared off into the empty space over my shoulder.
We were coming home from our grandparents' place over in Baker, near North Dakota. Sophie was behind Mom. Isaac was in the back, behind me. We got in the accident on I-94.
I reached out and took his hand. He squeezed mine before continuing.
A big rig driver had fallen asleep at the wheel. He crossed into the lane next to him and flipped his truck and trailer on its side, blocking off both lanes.
Sophie got to her feet as he continued.
It was a holiday weekend, so the interstate was packed. We were the second car to hit the trailer.
His voice grew thick.
We hit head-on. The front of the car crumpled, glass shattered. Mom was knocked out immediately, even with the airbags going off.
He met my eyes.
A second didn't even go by, and we got hit again. This time it smashed our side against the trailer. Then we were hit again on the driver's side.
Oh, God. Ethan looked down at our hands.
The crash kept going, but we weren't getting hit every time. My legs were pinned under some metal from the car. My back was fucked up, and I had a concussion from the second hit, so I was struggling just to stay conscious.
He looked over my shoulder again, his grip on my hand tightening.
The only thing that kept me awake was Sophie. She was hit hard in the third hit. She was crying, asking for Mom. She said her chest hurt. Isaac had a broken arm, but he managed to pull her into his lap and hold her. We started telling her jokes to keep her calm.
They were horrible ones, Sophie said with a teary smile. They were a comfort, even with the sound of crashes still going on.
I passed out while he was still telling her jokes.
He met my gaze, tears running down his face.
What we didn't know was that the last hit broke her ribs and punctured her lung in several places. Isaac was alone when she died in his arms. He was alone with her for almost an hour after, until the paramedics could get to us.
My heart broke for both of them as tears fell down my face. He looked down at the floor and took deep breaths. I reached out and pulled him into my arms. He clung to me as we cried. Sophie moved to the couch next to Ethan, her face shining with tears. Izzy kept telling me jokes after he passed out, she said, her eyes on her brother. When he realized I was dying, he tried to get out of the car to help. We were completely pinned, and the pileup had just stopped. The ambulances weren't even close. He could only keep telling me jokes. She wiped her face. Then I had a lot of trouble breathing. He told me how much they loved me, how special I was to them, how I just needed to hold on. She wiped her face and met my eyes. Izzy made me feel so loved at the end that I wasn't scared when I died. He made it okay for me. I took a deep, shaking breath and repeated what she said to Ethan. He pulled back, wiping his face, but the tears still fell. He shook his head.
I thought I let her go,
he admitted. He did. Sophie looked over to me with shining eyes. He only pulled me back 2 years ago. Every night he lays in bed, his heart hurting. It's what drew me back. I repeated what she said to Ethan. He looked down at the floor and cursed.
That's when I realized how bad Isaac really was,
he said quietly, his voice thick.
I was alone.
You're not alone, Ethan, I told him softly. You're surrounded by people who love you. He looked up and met my eyes. Those chocolate eyes of his were full of shadows.
Isaac's changed. He won't talk about it, but he has,
Ethan said.
Sophie was dead, and Ma was finally doing better after losing Sophie.
I reached out and held his jaw in my hand. You are not alone, I told him again. Everyone is here any time you need us. I am here. I swallowed hard. You'll never be alone. I promise. If you need me, I'm here. His eyes gazed into mine for several heartbeats. He nodded before looking away.
I never got to say goodbye to her,
he muttered. I wiped my face and looked at Sophie. Now you can, I said gently. When he didn't say anything, I had to ask, Do you want me to go in the kitchen? He shook his head, his gaze on my knees.
Sophie, no perteneces aquí. Lo siento, te traje de vuelta aquí,
he said, his voice cracking.
Te quiero y te extraño cada día, maldito, pero no puedo pedirte que te quedes. Tienes que pasar a lo que viene y ser feliz. Adiós, mi pequeña Sophie.
Sophie's tear-streaked face turned to me. Tell him I love him, and I will. I repeated her words. He nodded and took deep, trembling breaths. Sophie looked to me. I can go now. I turned to Ethan. She says she's ready. He swallowed hard.
Take care of her.
Always, I answered. He gave me a sad half-smile. I turned to Sophie. She reached out her hand. It was barely a thought, and that golden thread moved around her wrist. I closed my eyes and dropped down. After the long fall, we landed in the Vale. Sophie got to her feet and looked around, then froze. I looked to my side and blinked. Ethan stood there blinking and wobbling on his feet. What the hell? I stammered. I looked down. Holy shit! I had grabbed both of them with separate threads. Oh, God, what have I done? I'd never brought a living person to the Vale before. What if I killed him? Oh, God. I took deep, slow breaths as I let go of Sophie. I was too afraid to let Ethan go from the connection.
Lexi, what?
Ethan trailed off as he saw Sophie. The little girl smiled the biggest smile.
Sophie?
She ran to him, laughing as she jumped into his arms. He held her tight as they both cried.
I've missed you every damn day.
He pulled back and kissed his sister on her cheeks, then her forehead. He smelled her hair, then hugged her tight again. I'm sorry about your guitar, she told him as he hugged her. I'm sorry about scaring you and Izzy. I was just mad at you.
I don't care. It got our attention.
He held her close again.
I wish Isaac was here.
She shook her head. He doesn't need to say goodbye. He already did. She took a breath and squirmed to be put down. He reluctantly set her back on her feet. You need to help him, she said. Tell him that he's wrong, and that's coming from me. A ball of golden light came down from the way. A door shimmered into existence and opened. It was a kitchen, and there was a woman waiting there. Sophie, I said, getting her attention. She turned and smiled.
Is that Abuela?
Ethan asked, his voice full of disbelief. Yeah, Sophie turned back to us. It's time to go. She hugged Ethan one more time.
Goodbye, Sophie,
he said. He had tears in his eyes, but this time he also had a smile. Love you both, she said, before walking away towards the door. I held his hand tightly as she crossed over and was immediately hugged by her grandmother. The door closed, then turned into two balls of light that shot up into the way like comets. I looked around for Sophie's flower and smiled. A tree had shimmered into existence. An apple tree. Ethan laughed.
She always loved apples.
I smiled as the tree grew taller. Then I turned back to Ethan. Okay, bad news time, I said. He raised an eyebrow. I've never brought a living person here before. I don't know if I can get you back. I might have just fucking killed you. His brow furrowed. I mean, I haven't let go of your soul, so theoretically I should be able to just bring you back and you'll go back into your body. If taking a living soul from their body won't kill someone... I was rambling. He turned me to face him.
Beautiful. I just got to see my sister and say goodbye. That was a miracle. You can bring me home,
he said with complete confidence. I took a deep breath while he watched me. You're insane, I told him. The veil has fucked with your mind already. He chuckled as he looked around.
This place is weird as hell.
He met my gaze again.
You got this, beautiful.
When I was calm, I said, okay, let's do this. I was about to pull us out when he stepped closer.
But just in case,
he said softly. His hands cradled my face as he moved in. He kissed me hard and fast. He pulled me into his body as his teeth bit my lower lip lightly. Desire rose in me as I kissed him back, my hands buried in his shirt as he took over my mouth. One of his hands moved down my spine to my butt, where he pulled me against his hard body. Sparks shot through me. When he lifted his head, I was breathing hard, my entire body on fire. He smirked down at me.
I've wanted to do that for some time now.
Ethan... Stunned, I didn't know what to say. He grinned at me.
Just take us home.
I nodded. That was probably best. I focused on pulling us both out. I opened my eyes and immediately examined Ethan. He was holding his head and wincing at the light, but he seemed okay. The ache in my chest eased. Ethan, you're okay, right? I asked, desperately, my body still aching from that kiss.
Yeah,
he groaned.
That place was strange as hell.
He finally blinked his eyes open. What do you remember? I asked, carefully. He looked at me, confused.
I remember my sister, seeing my grandma, her crossing, and an apple tree, he said. Why?
Shit. He didn't remember kissing the hell out of me? And why the hell was I disappointed? Ah! I just shook my head, not sure what to think or how to feel. Nothing. I just wanted to make sure you remembered saying goodbye. He eyed me as if I was acting strange before he got to his feet.
I need to call Isaac and tell him to come home.
I'm going to head out then, unless you need me, I said. He gave me a small smile.
I'll be okay. Isaac will be home soon, and I just... need it to sink in,
he said. I nodded and put Hades back on his leash, then headed for the door. I was on the porch when he called my name. I turned, not knowing what to expect.
Lexi,
he said as he came out on the porch.
How do I not pull her back again?
I stepped closer and rested my hand on the middle of his chest, just over his heart. You heal? You talk, and you let us be there for you.
Thank you,
he said softly.
You've no idea what you've given me.
He pulled me into a hug that sent my pulse sky high. I hugged him back, then pulled away. I needed to figure out what the hell was wrong with me. He smiled at me.
What are you going to do now?
I looked at the sun. It was going to set soon. I'm going to go to the beach and watch the sunset, I decided out loud.
Get some peace and quiet?
He asked. I nodded. I left him on the porch without a word. My mind was racing as I drove to the beach on the north side of the lake. I walked out on the sand and sat, watching the waves lap at the shore with Hades playing in the shallows. What the hell just happened? Okay. Ethan kissed me and I liked it. Really fucking liked it. I examined my feelings as I watched the small waves. Shit. I liked Ethan. Four guys now. Why was I crushing on four guys, let alone my friends? I went around in circles as the sun sank further. Finally, I said, fuck it. Too much had happened this week. I was done thinking for the day. I looked down at my phone and only hesitated a second. Alexis, meet me at the North Shore Beach. We need to talk. While I waited, I focused on watching the water and the pretty sunset. I had accomplished everything I had set out to do this week, except for two things, and one of those I could solve now. Soon, the jingle of keys came towards me. Zeke sat down next to me. We were quiet for several minutes. I came clean yesterday, I said quietly. It's your turn.
Lexi.
Don't Lexi me. I turned and looked up at him. The other night you left. You said you had to work, but you didn't. Is this what you're going to do now? Avoid me? He ran his hand down his whiskered face.
You're right. It is my turn to come clean.
He took a deep breath and let it out as he turned to look at the water.
Ever since you came home from the hospital and we learned you can't hug me,
I looked down at the sand, feeling guilty again. He took a breath and tried again.
With what happened to you and with you not being able to hug me, it raised some issues for me.
What kind of issues? I watched as he clenched and unclenched his jaw. He turned back to me with those beautiful blue eyes.
I've been in therapy since we found out I could trigger you.
I sighed, feeling even worse. It's not your fault.
I let you drive home alone that night. It's my fault you were taken in the first place. I should have been there.
His gravelly voice was rougher than usual. He took a deep breath and let it out slowly.
That's the way it feels. My doc says it's bullshit, that it's not my fault. I guess he's right, but still.
I shook my head. Zeke, it really isn't your fault, I said, narrowing my eyes at him. You've been blaming yourself this whole time? He swallowed hard and looked out at the water.
Yeah, it's why Sylvie told me to get back into therapy.
He clenched his jaw.
The fact I remind you of him.
But you don't, Zeke. I stopped him. With you, I know I'm safe, that you'd tear into anyone who tried to hurt me.
Then why can't you look at me without that sad look in your eyes?
He asked gruffly. Tears fell down my face. Because it's been killing me that I've done nothing but hurt you since I came home from the hospital. His gaze snapped to me. He reached into his pocket and handed me his handkerchief. I took it and wiped my face, then took a breath and continued. My shrink wants me to try to hug you again, but I'm scared that I'll have a flashback and hurt you more.
Lexi, don't worry about hurting me,
he told me. I shot him a look. The corner of his lips twitched.
Maybe we can figure out what it is.
How? I grumbled.
How did it feel when you hugged me last time?
He asked. I closed my eyes and remembered. Your frames are the same, but different enough. I struggled to explain. It's that you're so much taller than me. It's like you're looming over me the way he did when he was monologuing. I shrugged. That's the only way I can describe it. I'm sorry. Zeke gave me a small smile.
Lexi.
His voice was gentle. He got to his feet, then held his hands down to me. When I took them, he pulled me to my feet and let go. I don't want to hurt you, Zeke. I all but whispered.
You won't,
he assured me as he stepped closer. My heart slammed in my chest as my lungs grew tight, but instead of hugging me, Zeke bent down and picked me up with his arm under my butt. I fell against him as an arm moved across my back. With my hands on his shoulders, I looked down at him, surprised. He wasn't standing over me, and he wasn't triggering me. I wrapped my arms around him and buried my face into his neck as tears poured out of me. I took a big, deep breath of leather and engine grease, and it was the best smell in the world. His face moved into my neck. He took a deep breath.
I missed you, baby.
I missed you, tough guy.
Ethan. I looked up at the ceiling and watched shadows dance over the surface. Today had been a bitch, but I felt better. Like I'd been holding on to something so much that someone finally took the load away. With her, I didn't feel so alone anymore. I looked over to my dresser. Photos of Lexi and the guys were taped to the wall. Lexi. Why did I lie? We'd give her a big speech about being honest, and then I lied to her face. I remembered kissing her in the veil. I remembered her lips, her taste, the feel of her. I remembered everything. I closed my eyes and cursed myself. You're falling for her, you ass. I ran my hand down my face. What the hell was I going to do? She didn't mention the kiss. Did that mean she didn't feel the same way? Or was she just playing it cool because I said I didn't remember? Fuck. I'd have to ask. That wasn't going to happen anytime soon. She wasn't even close to ready to ask her out. I took a deep breath. I just had to forget about it. Yeah. Forget about the best kiss of my life? Not likely. At least Isaac was home. I sat up, giving up on sleep. Isaac refused to talk about Sophie once he came home. When I told him that I told Lexi about the crash, he'd stopped talking again. He just went into his room without a word. He hadn't been out since. I got to my feet and walked out into the hall. His door was shut still. Maybe I should talk to him, or at least sit with him. I didn't want to be alone right now. I doubt he did either. I knocked on the door. No answer. I opened the door. Fuck. Isaac's bed was empty. The window open to the night. Isaac was gone. Damn it. Isaac. The loud music was barely enough to get me out of my head. I drank down a shot of tequila and poured another. Josh had texted me about the party around 10. He'd been willing to pick me up down the block from the house. There was no point in asking Ethan. He got closure today. The ass was probably sleeping like a baby. I drank straight from the bottle. It burned all the way down. I made my way through the crowd, bumping into people here and there and not caring. He told her. Ethan fucking told her. My chest burned as I moved into the living room. She knew. I drank another drink, enjoying the burn. She knew all about it. I staggered into a group of guys. I straightened. "Hey, take it easy, man," one of them said. "Fuck off," I snapped, before taking another drink and moving away. "Go fuck yourself," he shot back. I turned and sized him up. It was one of that prick Jason's friends. They looked like they could hold their own. "Nah, I'll just go fuck your mom," I countered. It didn't matter. None of it fucking mattered. "What did you say?" he snapped. He shoved me. I stumbled back into the couch, but I righted myself and raised my arms with a smile on my face. I said I'll just go fuck your mom, I repeated, only louder. Yeah, this was what I deserved, what I needed. They stepped towards me. Back the fuck off, a deep, gravelly voice growled. The dude stopped. Shit. I turned. Yep, it was the Giant of the North, scowling at me like I was a bug under his shoe. I snorted. Might as well be. He grabbed the back of my shirt and started pulling me through the crowd. Come on, shithead, you're going home. I took another swig from the bottle. I didn't care, as long as I got to keep. Zeke knocked the bottle from my hand. It hit the floor as he kept pulling me. The air grew colder as he dragged me outside. You killed my drink. Big party foul, I told him. Shut up, Zeke snapped. Oh, he must be mad. Who cares? The world was spinning as he dragged me through the parked cars. You owe me. You were about to get your ass kicked. Nothing I don't deserve, I grumbled. I deserved so much worse. So, so much worse. I hung my head as I fell into that pit again. She knows. It wasn't your fault, you ass, Zeke snapped, as he opened the door to the back of his Jeep and threw me in. I laid across the back seat. It was really comfy. She knows, I grumbled. The door closed. Another opened. The Jeep moved, and it made my stomach churn. She knows what? Zeke growled. I closed my eyes as tears fell. That I let her die. That I killed Sophie. Zeke cursed and started talking, but I was too deep to listen. She knew. And now I'd never have a chance with her. She knew. Darkness pulled me under.
Epilogue. So, how are things? Dr. Smith asked. I bit the corner of my lip. How are things? I sighed. Isaac was pretending that Sophie had never been here, and if you brought it up, he'd walk away. We're all watching him carefully, but all we're seeing is the funny guy again. Ethan told me Isaac has been training harder than ever to get back into the octagon this summer. I'm not looking forward to it, but of course I couldn't talk to her about that. I've managed to leave the house a couple times without Hades or the guys, I replied. It had been just down to the store, but it counted in my book. She smiled. That's good, Lexi. She wrote down a note, then looked back up to me. What else? My voice therapy with Ethan is still twice a week, I answered. I kept going because it was alone time with Ethan, and I seemed to be craving it lately. I didn't want to look too closely at that. He still doesn't remember our kiss. I don't know if I'm happy about that or not. Okay, anything else? She asked. Did you hug Zeke? I nodded. Yeah, we figured out that it was his height that triggered me, so he picks me up for a hug now. She smiled. Good. How is he doing? We're still working on our issues. He's seeing his own shrink, and he sometimes has homework that involves talking to me. I shrugged. We'll get back to where we were. It'll just take time. How is school? Dr. Smith asked. I smiled. Jessica Asher's sister spread rumors that I'm sleeping with her brother, so every time we pass her in the hallway, I make a point to hold his hand. Her eyes narrowed at me. And how does Asher feel about that? He doesn't mind. He thinks she deserves it, I explained. She also still hasn't received a dime from the house accounts. She tilted her head. What about the job at the tattoo shop? I sighed. I decided that I have too much on my plate right now. I'm rushing around already, and to add something else to that would just be a disaster. Not to mention the ghosts are still being pushy, But after me not crossing them for a week, they showed up at the house. That's when I learned the guys and Rory had planted betony around the house. The protective plant and the wards had held. When the ghosts realized they couldn't get in, it occurred to them that pissing me off was a bad move. They are starting to settle down, I think. As for Mr. Davis, if I see that shit again, I'm going to force his ass into the veil so fast he'll be lucky if he doesn't get shoved into the abyss. Dr. Smith smiled. I'm glad you recognized that. You have a tendency to push yourself until you drop. I nodded. Right now, I'm just enjoying my time with my friends and trying to find my new normal. And I'm looking forward to summer. School breaks were supposed to be restful. I could do with a good, event-free summer. That could happen, right? This concludes Whispers from the Dead by B.L. Brunemer. Narrated by Carla Mercer Meyer and Chris Kosciuszki. Copyright 2017 by B.L. Brunemer. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with B.L. Brunemer and was produced in the year 2018 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.